So, there's a lot going on in these readings, and the primary thing that we have to think about today, specifically in the first and third readings, is about shepherding and leadership. Jeremiah prepares us for the reading of the gospel explicitly because of the metaphor of shepherding. And the self-giving exemplified by Jesus and copied by his disciples is the very opposite of the carelessness and self-seeking of those called shepherds, those so-called shepherds, whose actions triggered the destruction of Judah and caused the deportation of the people to Babylon. You know, the passage from Jeremiah was written when the political leadership failed abjectly, leading to catastrophic collapse of institutions. As we look around our world today, perhaps what we see will help us identify with the people of Israel from the time of this writing. And now as we hear the message of condemnation from those days in Israel, perhaps we can be open as well to the message of hope that Jeremiah provides and apply it to our own times. And the gospel message speaks to all of us who care for others, you know, and it reminds us that those who care for others need to take care of themselves every once in a while. That is why Jesus asked the apostles to stop and rest a while. But, you know, the cry of the need can't be ignored. The people in need cannot be ignored. And in the words of the gospel today, perhaps you heard that need. Perhaps you heard that desperation in the line. Now many saw them going and recognized them. And they hurried there on foot from the towns, from all the towns. And they arrived there ahead of them. People wanted to be close to Jesus and hear his words and be touched by him. You know, they were in need. And what was Jesus' response? As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he taught them many things. Now, I'm going to spend a little time giving you some background on this reading from Jeremiah, you know, to prepare us to really understand what's going on here in the gospel. So to give context to Jeremiah, we have to understand what was happening in that time frame. The Israelites had been in exile and suffering in Babylon. And they got there because they had failed in military battle. But they had been suffering even before this exile in their own country under the leadership of a long line, with few exceptions, of kings who failed to shepherd them in the way God wanted them to. And we need to remember that Israel was not always under the leadership of kings. For a long time, they were under the influence of judges, up from the time of the Exodus until about 400 years before this writing. Judges were spiritual leaders who claimed an intimacy with God and God's law. Some of these judges included Samson, Deborah, and Samuel. But the people, at a key moment in their history, when they felt threatened by the Philistines, in an effort to consolidate their economic, political, and military power, they asked for a king, and they approached Samuel. And they said, "We would like to be like other nations." Now, in the Bible, that's often a bad thing. For Israel is meant to be unlike the other nations. It's meant to be a sign of contradiction. That's why Samuel, the de facto leader of the time, was so opposed to it. Samuel knew that God alone should be the true king of Israel. What Samuel was trying to point out to the people was that they should be living their lives according to God's principles and plans and not their own. He was also making the point that on a political level, God should be in charge of Israel's destiny, not a king. It should not be the will of the people to determine the fate of the country, but the will of God. It means that Israel was meant to live in trust in God and not trust in its own resources. And this is a theme that flows up and down the centuries from the Israelites all the way to us. We should trust an infinite God and not our finite resources. We humans, you know, we want to set our own economic and political agenda. But remember, Israel was meant to stand out, not to be like other nations. It was meant to be a beacon. But the people wanted the stability, in the economic and political and military power they thought a king would bring. And this theme should sound familiar to us Christians. For we too are called to live our lives according to God's will and not our own. But we are often seduced by the influence of our culture, you know, which can be looked upon as a king. You know, we are under the influence of this culture. And we can worship it at times. Now, in researching this, I looked at Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8, to find out what Samuel tells the people, what a king will cost them, what this worship of other things will cost them. And it reminds us, you know, if we forget what worldly kingship costs us, or if we forget that the worship of worldly things will cost us, I think we should go back and read 1 Samuel chapter 8. And what Samuel tells them in that, and us, so tells them and us, is that what we seek from a king, security, prestige, power, will be taken from them, and by extension, our worship of the world will cause us to lose the same things. And it's not to say we don't need some sort of social order, or that leadership is bad per se, but it's the clinging to the desires of self and not the desires of God that's the problem. So as I mentioned earlier, this social experiment went very bad for the Israelites. Be careful what you pray for as a lesson to take away from these readings today. Because they ended up, you know, at the time of Jeremiah's writing, in captivity as a result of this poor leadership. Their reliance on the king did not protect them from the vagaries of the world. And the kings ended up serving themselves and not the people. Does this sound familiar? They were poor shepherds. Those who meant to shepherd them ended up abusing them. But the shepherds were not the only ones who should be concerned. The people are also being called out for their continued reliance on kings. Just like us, when we are reminded of the fallacy of putting our faith in things that wither and die and not in the eternal. So within that context, we will read Jeremiah's words again. Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people, you have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them, but I will take care to punish your evil deeds. So there's a consequence to straying from God's law. But in the verses that follow, there is this promise. And it's the main point of how our reading the Hebrew Scriptures prepares us for understanding who Jesus really is. For the passage says, I will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I have driven them, and bring them back to the meadow, to their meadow. Yahweh himself will lead them to green pastures. But what does this mean? It does mean that one day, God's desires will be the governing principles of our society. And that begs the question, doesn't it? How is our nation today living to move towards that goal? Well, I like to think that in our distant past, we may have done okay with this. But as we got more affluent, God's influence on our society has waned. So given all that background, let's look at the gospel. First, the passage that follows last week's gospel. This is the passage that follows last week's gospel. If you remember, the disciples were sent out two by two. They took nothing for the journey but a walking stick. They took no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They abandoned themselves to the new kingdom and the new king. They traveled, trusting in the Lord, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and a radical way of life lived under the reign of God. They proclaimed then, and we can hear it again in our times, if God's kingdom is to come into our life, then other kingdoms must fall away. We cannot serve two masters. Scary, isn't it? And I'll be the first to tell you, I do this poorly. But that doesn't mean it's not the truth, or that we shouldn't strive to continue to shed our faulty dependencies as we can and become more and more dependent on God. Next, let's look at the line, when he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Now, who was that vast crowd that Jesus was looking at? It was the Israelites, of course. The same Israel that Jeremiah was talking about, scattered and abandoned. And he is moved with pity. Why? Because it is he himself that Jeremiah predicted. He is the fulfillment of that prophecy from the reading today. God in the flesh, shepherding his people Israel. And not just a wise teacher, not just a prophet, but Jesus is himself in person, Yahweh, shepherding his people. He doesn't give them things as kings and politicians promise. He gives them the teaching of many things. At the heart of Jesus' teaching is the promise of a new way of life, which includes redemption from sin, peace in our hearts, and through him, we have access to the one Spirit, to the Father, as Ephesians reminds us. We learn to trust in an infinite God rather than our finite selves, who provides what we need if we stay close to him and perform his work well. We can become less afraid and less concerned about our schemes and designs. We can become free of self and free from fear. And isn't freedom from fear better than freedom from want? If we follow Jesus, we can get these benefits. And isn't that better than a bigger house, bigger garage, more stuff? And isn't that better than the American dream?